Morning, Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's she caught me, loves? You're listening to the Mac City Morning Show.
Everybody, Keith Simpson here from Neural Toyota. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Neural Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
All right. I am Tristan Brady. I'm the programmer for robotics team 5760B at Father Merck.
There we go. And so you guys just had a big win down in Calgary. We had your teammate speak before you. So my question is, Father Merck, how long you've been going there for?
I've been there since start of middle school. So grade 7 would have been, I guess, 5.5 years now.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's been really good. Especially with the opportunities to do stuff like robotics and all of the engineering courses that are offered there.
Yeah, no doubt. And so when did you start doing robotics? When you joined Father Merck, or had you been doing it prior to?
I'd been doing a little bit of robotics prior to starting build your own kits mostly. Just the small stuff like Arduino and more proprietary things. Can't really think of any specifics, but as soon as I got into grade 7, I started doing Lego. So using their Mindstorm system, I think it was, they have a whole competitive program, and during my grade 7 year, that's what I did with Declan and Braden and a few others.
There we go. So did you always have a passion for robots and Lego, even from a younger age, or was this something that just kind of came on your radar when you got into grade 7?
No, I'd say I've had a passion for this and similar things for a while.
Yeah.
Loved Lego growing up, and of course those robotics kits were amazing to play with, but I've always loved building things, taking them apart, seeing how they work, and seeing how they can be improved upon or how they can be used.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, in regards to you're the head of programming for your team, so this is the gentleman who's putting the AI together that it's working autonomously prior to? Okay, so there is a bunch of different fields that you can get into. Why did programming speak to you?
To start off, I think it mostly came down to necessity. When I joined the program in grade 8, we had a major lack of programmers, and so I took it upon myself to learn some of the systems and start doing that so that we wouldn't be stuck down the line without someone who knew how to write all these algorithms and make the robot work.
Yeah. And so it became a necessity, but now somewhat of a passion. And I hear you're extremely good at it as well.
So shortly after I decided to do it for robotics, I took some classes at the school, started working on it at home as well.
Yeah.
So I've learned, of course, the basics through classes, got working on some game design as well.
Okay.
And then started challenging myself with more complex control algorithms that would be really helpful for the robot, like PID that lets you take sensor inputs and give the robot precise movements.
Okay, very cool. Now, outside of just going to classes and learning this in school, are there other avenues of like learning that you can grab to like help you hone this skill a little bit more?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's many great resources online. Even just taking a look at API references. So basically a large compilation of all the commands you can use is great. But there's also things like Scratch, which was developed by, I think, MIT. And it's basically a graphical programming system meant to teach children the basics of programming. Right. And you can use it to make games and animations. Okay. And so I think that's what really introduced me to programming.
Right. Very cool. Now, as far as the next step, after robotics is done, after you've graduated from Father Mercury, Pat, what do you do next? What do you think you're doing next? If when I was in grade 12, I had no idea. So,
My plan's to go into engineering, like a lot of the people in robotics, like Declan as well.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where yet. I've got an offer from U of C, but I've also applied a few other places, so I'm just waiting to hear back, seeing if I do get accepted or not.
Right.
And in the long term, I'd love to work on more robotics, so doing some of the bigger stuff like, well, rovers or, I guess, self-driving cars, seeing industrial applications. Not sure yet, but I have a feeling that I'll get a good look at it when I finally do go to university.
Where does Canada fall on the spectrum for robotics in regards to, like, the universities? Like, is Canada a high-level area for the field that you want to go in? Is America better, China, Europe? Like, where does Canada fall in the mix?
I'm pretty sure the U.S. and Japan are ranked slightly higher. Mm-hmm. But if I'm remembering correctly, I believe the University of Toronto is ranked like number 7 in the world for robotics engineering or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal.
So, yeah, Canada does hold our own in the field.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I didn't ask because I knew I have 4 of you to chat, so I saved some questions from the last interview. At the competition that you guys had that was down in Calgary, what was it, just North America or was it global in regards to the competitors that came?
It was originally supposed to be global. I don't think it ended up being because of scheduling conflicts and airplane prices with places like, I think, Thailand?
Taiwan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was originally supposed to be a global thing, but since we're still recovering in terms of that, it did end up just being North America. But even for that, it was a lot more, I guess, it was a lot more of a geographical diverse sample than we're used to in Alberta.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, listen, my man. Tanner just tapped his phone, so that means he has his questions ready for the Mac City Minute. But before we go there, we're going to talk to Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit them with the Mac City Minute.
Alrighty, question number 1 for you. What has been a standout moment for you during your time at Merck?
Let's see. Probably grade 7 year, starting getting into middle school. I had really great teachers that year, and especially in math, since I was doing math a bit faster than the rest of the students. I was given the opportunity with a few other students, Declan being one of them, to put in some extra practice at with math and actually try our skill at something called the kangaroo math test.
Okay.
From what I remember, I didn't end up doing too great, but it was still an amazing moment and a great challenge, especially doing something that I enjoy doing like that.
There we go.
Question number two. What is your favorite part of building robots with your team?
Probably the conversations about design iterations. Just going off between all of us and saying, like, what if we do this? Or how do we improve upon X? And just going around in a circle, throwing out suggestions, it's great. Proves upon the robot, and it's just altogether fun with the team.
There we go.
Question number three. What is one part of programming that you find most interesting?
I've only been able to get into this in the past year or so, since now is really when I've been able to start understanding it. But all the control algorithms, just seeing how they work, like, for example, PID I mentioned earlier, which is mostly derived from calculus.
Okay.
So these control algorithms let you do crazy things. They let you control the speed of motors and so that you can auto-aim the robot to certain angles or vision targets.
Okay.
And it even gives the robot a certain level of prediction. So if you tell it to move to X point, it's going to know what speeds it needs to hit. And while it will actually start slowing down as it gets to that point, it will also give it bursts of speed to fight that based on how long it's been traveling and how fast it's currently going.
There we go.
Question number four. What is your go-to snack when taking a break?
Oh, good question, man.
Yeah, I'm going to need to think about this.
Yeah. Your entourage is trying to tell you.
Oh, okay. Now, this does actually have a story behind it, but my answer is being directed towards Airhead Bites.
Okay. So, Bites?
Yes, they're Airheads, but they're small, I guess, oval-shaped ones.
Okay.
They come in a bag. And so while on these robotics trips, we, of course, travel by bus, and we stop at various gas stations. I always load up on a whole ton of candy. And so this specific incident, I'm sitting next to the robot. I have this bag of Airhead Bites. I set it down on the catapult of the robot, and it does stay there. I then fall asleep. And so as we're traveling, I think half the bag, I'd say about half, spills over the robot.
Yeah.
I pick up as many as I can when I wake up.
Right.
But later during the competition, we actually find one still in the robot.
Okay. And did it mess up the robots? Like,
nope.
Lucky. Yeah. You got lucky that day.
Yep, we did.
Yeah.
And your final question. What do you think is an underrated TV show you think more people should watch?
Killing it with the questions. That's pretty usual, Tanner.
I try.
I'm sorry. You're just going to need to give me a minute to think.
No worries. You know what show I want to get in? Well, he's thinking, and you and me talk about this often. I am going to start watching, what's it called?
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty. I want to call it Mork and Mindy, and I don't know why.
That used to be a show, didn't it?
I think so. It used to be with Robert Williams. Yeah, they're characters. But it keeps coming up on all my feeds, and I'm going down these rabbit holes on TikTok in it, and I was like, I just need to come in and watch a full episode of this thing, so.
Yeah, well, on a similar line, I think I'm going to go with, though it did just get canceled by Netflix, Inside Job.
Yeah.
fairly great comedy series, and all of the jokes about shadow government and the like are just, they really did a good job with that one.
There we go.
Those menu five questions.
Hey, and just because it's canceled doesn't mean it might not come back. There's been tons, like, what's Futurama is a prime example of a show that's been canceled but just keeps coming back and kicking around. So now you're wearing something, and I saw it as soon as you walked in. You got a pair of Vans on your feet. So I've never seen Vans like those before. Please explain your shoes to me and everybody at home.
Okay, so as you know, as everyone knows, it gets really cold here.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and so I have a pair of lined Vans. I don't know what material it is, but it's like a fake fur.
Yeah.
They were actually a gift given to me by my grandparents, who currently live in Texas.
Okay.
Which I just find really funny.
Me too.
They've got all the insane winter gear. If you go down there, they've got all the outlets for like North Face, I think. But all of the winter gear, it's always on discount. They've got a ton of it, and so. These came from there. I've got various boots and jackets that I've my family's brought across the border from visits down to Galveston Island in Texas.
Yeah. Okay.
And, these are great. I've been wearing them for the past 2 years. And,
yeah, man, they're sick.
I've been loving it, and they keep my feet warm.
Me and Tanner have, like, imaginary conversations on the regular. And so one of the imaginary conversations is, if you could only wear one brand of shoe for the rest of your life, what would it be? And so for me, I'm jumping back and forth between Nike. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we talk about it in regards to not just for, like, day-to-day use, but if you're going to, like, a wedding or if you're going, like, and it doesn't have to be the exact same shoe. It just has to be the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it's a toss-up between Vans and Nike, and I cannot pick one. And you just put Vans into a bit of a leading. You gave Vans some more points because I didn't know you could get insulated Vans.
Yeah, they're great.
Okay, so now my next question about your shoes is, like, these Vans that I have, they're not the best for, like, walking around. Like, they're flat bottoms. But you can get other Vans that are great for walking.
Yeah.
What is the sole support like on those bad boys?
Probably about the same. I'm not really sure. I have a bad habit of wearing the same shoes for several years, wearing out the insoles.
Right.
Before this pair, I was on the same pair of hiking boots for, I think, 3 years, just because I loved wearing them so much. I also switch out between these and, like, they're surprisingly light, and they are worth it. And they are worth it.
Wow. Say they wear steel-toed boots outside of.
I wore them for like 3 years.
You wore steel.
They were the same cost as the regular boots.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like I was going to get the boots anyways, or I could get the steel toes for the exact same price, and then I would have steel toes.
Yeah.
I probably had them for other reasons, but.
Yeah.
You know.
Crazy. Okay.
Why wouldn't you want your toe to be reinforced if you have the option?
Yep. And it's.
That's my question. Like, why wouldn't you?
And it's been helpful. I've taken a few welding courses, and.
Yeah.
I just had the footwear ready to go for it anyways, so, yeah, steel-toed boots.
There we go. Well, listen, I learn and I'm surprised by something every day, and this is something I'm surprised about, steel-toed work boots, even if you don't need them for sight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, listen, I am shocked. But Tanner just hit his watch, so that means we are out of time. That being said, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug, so you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Well, I think I'm going to start out like Declan did. Shout out to my parents. Shout out to the rest of the robotics organization at Father Merck. They're also doing really good. Like Declan said, the juniors are something to watch out for. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them does end up getting to Worlds as well. And, yeah, I think that's it.
There we go. Good job, my man. All right. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo and the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Thank you very much for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Thank you both for your ongoing support. I hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.